attic room, and when all of a sudden wax dripped onto the page of the book, a clear pool beneath which the suddenly enlarged letters twitched like the legs of insects, Louisa blew the candle out. Immediately her room felt cooler, and she snuggled under her blankets, rubbed her feet with a yawn, and thought for a moment she could see an afterglow of the little flame on the outlines of the furniture. A reddish rim shimmered on her water glass. She got up, stepped into the eyebrow dormer, and breathed on the frost crystals on the pane. No moon above the fields, only a few scattered stars, and still one could make out the trees along the thoroughfare, their black branches, and in the east there were flames behind a veil, impossible to tell whether mist or smoke. Either way, beyond it, Kiel was burning. The thin ice in the tractor tracks crunched beneath her soles when she went to the dairy the next morning. Carts and buggies stood along the Alte Eide, 2 dozen or more, and new ones were joining them almost every day. Some had sunk to the hub in the mud of the shore, their axles looming into the sky at all kinds of angles. The sun was shining, but the wind on the ramp was bitter. Refugees with buckets, pots and jugs waited there. Some of the women wore felt boots and several headscarves, one on top of the other, and hardly anyone said a word. Everyone, even the children, stared at the door, where old Tamling busied himself with liter measures and quark scrapers. Louisa liked his bright, often teary eyes, his white sea lion whiskers, and his always benevolent, "It'll all come right. I'm sure it'll all come right." When he waved to her, past all the waiting people, she was embarrassed. Milk was restricted, and the women at the back often went away empty-handed. She already thought she could hear grumbling. A toothless woman hissed something incomprehensible. A man on crutches, his thin jacket inflated by a gust of wind, reluctantly made way for her. The administrator grinned. "Well, my girl, what's with the rings under your eyes? Latest fashion? You've been reading all night, haven't you? There was a light in your window." The lid of the dented aluminium churn was stiff. A note in her mother's handwriting fell out as it came away, a request for fat, and Louisa pulled her thick scarf, frosted from her breath, away from her mouth. "Not the whole night," she said. "No more than a few hours." The administrator ran the ladle, with its handle as long as his arm, through the tiled basin. "Still, I could see a light, a flickering candle. And the pilots will see it too, you know? Haven't you heard of blackouts? Man alive, I'd like to have your time. You can sleep and you don't. What are you on now?"
"Vinitu the Second," she replied. "But Don Quixote was better. I'll have finished Treasure Island by tomorrow, and next week I might start on Effie Briest. That story's supposed to be very sad."
"Did Kiel burn last night?" He poured her some more milk, and when he pressed the lid down on the brimming jug, bubbles swelled out from beneath it. Then he pointed at the barrels outside the mosaic windows, the dog's empty treadmill.
"Say hello to your parents, but there won't be any butter again until tomorrow. Motta's paws are sore. And Kiel, or what's left of it, burns almost every night, my pretty. There's a war on, in case nobody's told you."
She nodded awkwardly, thanked him, and climbed carefully off the ramp. The angle irons on the steps were loose, and the administrator raised his head again and called,
"Louisa, before you get back to your books, I'd be obliged if you would tell your sister to take her rumba shoes off in the flat. I can't stand all that trampling. Otherwise, she can do the mucking out next time."
Neither pulse nor breath, and yet it is life. We need only know what name to give it. But which writing stills the suffering of our days?